It's as if fentanyl is raining on our reservation.
But I'll do anything to help.
Red Weatherwax Jr. is a tribal leader here and says much of the drug activity on his reservation stems from Mexican cartels selling to community members and using their homes, often in remote areas, as distribution hubs.
They've infiltrated our reservation. They've married in. They've basically set up shop. It's just a problem that won't go away.
Just this week, I officially designated the drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations, including Tren de Aragua and MS-13, which gives us great power.
Trump's saying they're going to strategically target the cartels.
We're talking about sending military forces to fight against the drug cartels in Latin America. Do you think it's worth sending our forces, our U.S. forces there to take this on?
We love this country like they love their countries. We have to protect our country. So, we're playing a tough game.
You can't do that. So much money's laundered through. It'll collapse the economy. Trump doesn't care.
According to the New York Times, behind the scenes, Trump's moving all the pieces into place to pull this off. Mexico's got a big problema.
But it has nothing to do with Mexican territory. It has to do with their country. It does not involve our territory.
So it would be within the United States?
Within the United States, exactly.
El Presidente doesn't comprehend that.
Mexico's president draws red line U.S. kinetic operations against drug cartels not welcome on her soil. Well, you know what's not welcome? Millions of dead from fentanyl. And all the crime, and all the human trafficking, and all the crap.
In 1989, the Sinaloa drug cartel dug its first drug tunnel between a house in Agua Prieta, Sonora, to a warehouse located in Douglas, Arizona.
Does this appear to be an isolated case, or perhaps is it part of a tunnel network?
They're not quite sure about this. They say the investigation is continuing, but they say that they believe that this is in no way a maiden voyage for these people. They must have had quite a bit of financial backing and have been working in drug smuggling for quite some time.
Now, 34 years later, new evidence reveals that the Mexican drug cartels have burrowed their way into the American government.
The Sinaloa cartel is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me get this right. The Federal Reserve of the United States of America is now in the business of money laundering. Count us in. And so now they are laundering their money through the pot industry of Colorado. One of the many problems in Mexico today is that the cartels have diversified. They've gotten into cargo theft and kidnapping and avocados and limes and real estate and local government. And criminality is always going to exist.
Arizona-based forensic investigator Jacqueline Brager dove down a deep rabbit hole into the sovereign dismantling corruption narrative after appearing in front of the Arizona Legislature's Senate Elections Committee and House Municipal Oversight and Elections Committee. Brager claimed that while investigating a nationwide racketeering epidemic involving the Sinaloa drug cartel, their team accidentally discovered election fraud. The web involved a real estate money laundering operation infiltrating all levels of government, constructed in order to trade influence to the Sinaloa cartel for backdoor money and control over elections and anyone that stood in their way.
We concluded that several real estate agents convicted in Iowa had set up laundering systems in Arizona and thereafter had transferred the proceeds of sales to the Panamanian corporations. These documents have definitely evidenced multiple racketeering enterprises.
And the Mexican military will finally work with us as soon as their president buckles. And the Army's pretty corrupt down there. I'm told from my sources the Navy and their Marines are pretty good, the Mexican Marines. And then Sheinbaum can take a hike down there if she wants to work with the cartels. So, you want to find a war Alex Jones is for? You want to find a war that I support? It's not against the Mexican people. They're the main victims of this, even worse than us. It is the drug cartels do not respect this country, do not respect us, and of course the CIA helped do it, and Trump's taking control of that. They're going after the banks that launder the money, they're shutting down the CIA operations, and they've told the cartels, they've had 7 months, and they told the Mexican government, Trump told them, you will make a real effort to shut this down, or we're going to come down there and we're going to kill people. Wars are when you're actually being killed by somebody. Wars are for when someone is crapping all over you. Wars is when a neighboring country does not respect you and is run by criminals that are attacking you. That's what war is for when it's just. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexhomestore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at thealexhomestore.com.
Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room. The fastest 3 hours on the internet starts now. We've got some news here. It's kind of been developing, but I was looking at the larger scope and scale of it, and it's time to have a larger conversation about this. It kind of ties into the AI conversation that we're not having, but this is a little more specific, where you have the federal takeover of D.C., which you can obviously argue is in need of some form of law enforcement reform or intensity, but you could argue that for many cities. So, okay, maybe you give it a try in Washington, D.C., but when you have the backdrop of the surveillance state and you have the backdrop of what ICE is starting to engage, like eye scanning technology to identify individuals for deportation, you start to look at these things coming together and you have to realize that, yeah, the threat that this will be used against us is very real. And so how do you balance that? And how do we have a proper conversation, but at the same time not discounting the problems that we're trying to solve here? Like the rampant crime in inner cities. So I would say the solution is you need better judges and prosecutors. If you want to be specific about it, it's not about left and right. It's just the fact of the matter. It is the leftists. It is the liberal progressives. It is the Soros district attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, and judges that are keeping criminals out on the streets. In fact, we just had a situation here yesterday with a shooter, a killer, in Austin, who had a long criminal history of violent crimes, including in Travis County. Now, they also had to admit he had a mental health problems. So we all know what that means. Popping pills. Okay, so now we're looking at this and we're staring the digital AI interface surveillance state right in the face. I mean, it's inches away from us now. Inches away. And you know what? They've got the perfect salesman. They've got the perfect marketer, Donald Trump, to bring it in. And you see conservatives celebrating it now. If this was happening during Joe Biden or Barack Obama, obviously it'd be a complete disaster. But since it's Trump, it kind of softens the blow. And yet I can also sit here and recognize, yeah, well, you can bring something in with bad intentions. You can bring something in with good intentions and have it go bad. So that's why we have to be monitoring this. Now, there's some other news in that space that we'll get to. And then, in kind of a similar vein, I mean, really, it's almost textbook fascism, which is a phrase that's now lost all meaning because the left just says anything they don't like is fascism. But no, I mean, this is in a way fascism. It's the government merging with private companies, like upward synchronization here. And have you looked at the stock markets lately? Oh, yeah. So they don't even hide it. Trump uses that as a point to say, see, the economy's doing good, which I don't think is a fair measurement. It's one sector of the economy. But that's like 1% of the economy is what is the stock market doing. And it's mostly the richer people that are in there. So you're still dealing with a large portion, probably the majority of the country, that is living paycheck to paycheck, wondering how to get by. And then you have the younger generations, which have always kind of been, you could say the younger generations have always been faced with this to a degree. And that's getting out of college or getting into your 20s and then kind of looking at life, feeling overwhelmed, feeling hopeless, but never like they do now. I mean, the easiest measurement to look at what young Americans are staring at would be the median household price versus, and the, you watch it go up on the line graph, and then the median household income or individual income, and it barely goes up at all. So it's like the average price of a house goes like this, and then the income goes like this. And so they're just sitting here feeling hopeless. You can look at the average age. Somebody purchases their first house. It's higher than it's ever been. You have record amount of people defaulting on mortgages and credit cards, car payments. So we can celebrate the good things happening in the economy or the good things to potentially come in the economy, but you can't ignore the fact that it's not going to work with a lot of Americans. So if you want to translate that to political victories, which I think the Republicans would like to do, you're going to have to find a way to deliver to now the middle class, because you have to understand, to the average working class American, even the Trump voter, they feel like now this administration is more catered to the rich. That's what they see. That's kind of the messaging. That's kind of the delivery. I mean, when you're talking about, oh, the stock markets are doing great, well, the average middle-class American doesn't think about that, doesn't care about that. And when you're constantly talking about more foreign aid for foreign countries, that's kind of a slap in their face. And then, I would bring it all together with this story that they're running in New York in the mayor's race, and they're attacking Mom Donnie, and they're saying, oh, well, he makes $140,000 a year. He shouldn't be in a rent-controlled apartment at $2,300 a month. And I'm like, wait a second. What is getting lost in translation here? Now, I'm not denying his upbringing. I don't know I doubt his parents are still sending him money. He's obviously living on his own. But it just shows how out of touch they are now. And they're sitting here and they're saying, hey, he makes all this money. $2,300 a month, that's like nothing. And I'm just like, you understand this is why you're losing younger Americans. To say $2,300 a month, yeah, that's what you make $150,000 a year. That's like around your bracket now for rent. This is $2,300 a month. And it blows people's minds. So they're like, why? You're making $150,000 a year. You could be paying $4,000 a month. No, the cost of living is to a certain point now. It happened, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. You may recall the headlines. I think it was 2023, maybe. It wasn't too long ago. It was during the Biden years. And it was how Americans making six figures a year are now living paycheck to paycheck. And so they use this, a champagne socialist, Zoran Mamdani. Look, the limousine liberal, now the champagne socialist, it's been around forever. We all know who they are. It's Gavin Newsom. It's Al Gore. Hell, it's Barack Obama now. But see, they're not understanding the future here. To attack Mom Donnie and say, oh, $2,300 a month is nothing, $150,000 a year. And it's like, whoa, actually, that's what people that make that much, that's about their price range now. Let's not be out of touch. But so we'll get to that. And then this other development, well, do they even want Trump involved now? Who does? Who doesn't? As Mamdani is kind of surging now. Yeah, look at this. This was last year even. More families making over $150,000 a year are living paycheck to paycheck. So that's why I see the right wing pushing this stuff. And I'm like, you guys are just out of touch now. And it happened so fast. The Trump administration's messaging, delivery to the middle class, the low-income class, better than any Republican we've seen in years, and it generated election victory after election victory after election victory. And now it's like they've completely forgotten all that, and they're kind of going back into this financial elitist mindset. But when Trump is surrounded by New York millionaires, I suppose, you know, you get what you have. So we'll get to that coming up. And then, and this ties back into the shooter in Austin from yesterday. What is about to happen in Illinois is unbelievable. And I'm shocked because when I was looking into this, I picked up this story last night. And when I was looking into this, I realized that it actually had broken a week or so ago. And I'm like, how is this not a bigger story? The state of Illinois has essentially mandated students undergo mental health screenings. J.B. Pritzker bragging about this, the governor. It's crazy that he's the governor of Illinois. What a horrible representation for that great state. But nonetheless, he's out here bragging about it. Let me translate this for you. I don't know if I've ever seen a bigger big pharma money grab since COVID. But at a state level, this is unreal. They're now going to be sending in to all of the schools mental health experts to talk to the children. Oh, that's right. And of course, you know what's going to follow after that. They're going to start prescribing your kids more pharmaceutical drugs. Can you imagine these bastards? You know, I am a capitalist, and if you're out there and you're making a great product to make money, fine, I celebrate you. But you know what? Business ethics apply differently to different parts of the economy. So when you start talking about healthcare, when you start talking about medical, and all you have is these people looking at it as profit centers, now you've got a problem. You should be trying to help people, not make them addicted to your drugs. And so they see a school, these bastards probably lobbying J.B. Pritzker, and they're like, what's a demographic we can get more drugs to? What's a part of our city? What's a part of our state where we have mouths that we need to put more pills in so they can make more millions? And Pritzker says, well, why don't we send them right into the schools? Yeah. Forget the TV ads. Forget the doctor's office. Forget a hotline. Whatever. Forget all that. Let's send them right into the schools. Let's diagnose them right there. Let's prescribe them right there. And bing, baby. You think Pritzker or the Pritzker family has any stock options in the healthcare industries, in the pharmaceutical industries? So we'll look at that. And then the shooter in Austin killed three. History of mental health. In other words, was on pharmaceutical pills. And then you've got a little geopolitical stack over here with Russia making huge moves ahead of the summit on Friday. So Russia putting itself into a negotiating position now, right before the negotiations Friday. While I think Trump has kind of already maneuvered himself into his position with NATO and with more military aid for Ukraine, but then also leaving Zelensky out. And then Zelensky's trying to save face. He's like, oh, well, you know, I don't need to be there. And I'll just, you know, Trump can report back to me. Like, oh, okay, little man. This negotiation is not even legitimate because I'm not there. And I control what happens in Ukraine. And then he comes out and he says, well, actually, I really don't have any power to decide if there's going to be a land trade. Meanwhile, Russia's already taken the land. Now they're moving farther inland. Zelensky hasn't even won an election in years. He's illegitimate. And the only election that they had in the former Ukraine, which is pretty much now Russia, in the eastern part, they all voted to become Russia. Go figure. It's always the same issue everywhere, which is we just have corrupt governments. You know, the Ukrainian people, they're not my enemy. They've got a corrupt government. Probably more corrupt than ours even, but much more corrupt. Not even close. And so here's Zelensky pretending like he has any power in the situation. But if you're in the eastern Ukraine and you got a choice, why wouldn't you prefer to be in Russia? Russia's on the rise. Ukraine is on the fall. And you know, whatever is going on in Kiev is not going to benefit you. And Zelensky has essentially used the Ukrainian people now for over a year as cannon fodder so that the military-industrial complex and all these different proxy groups can launder money and weapons through Ukraine. And everybody knows that's the gig. And they sit here and treat us like idiots. And they sit here and they pretend like this is some fight of good versus evil. And proud American Western patriotism and values versus the evil, dirty commie Russians. Aren't even communist anymore. And so this is how they screw us over. And the American people are sick of it there. They're sick of it in Israel. And the Israel issue just becomes a whole different beast to deal with because you've got the massive Israel lobby and then you've got the ADL with Jonathan Greenblatt. And I saw what he said. And I'm going to play this clip eventually. And I'm almost thinking it's intentional now. And I'm starting to, because when you have big issues, complex issues like this, you tend to focus on one angle or a different angle. And then you kind of lose sight of the other angles. Like, is there a rise of anti-Semitism? Yes. Is a lot of it astroturfed to bring in the next age of censorship and surveillance? Yes. So I look at Jonathan Greenblatt, who's obviously following the whole debate on Israel very closely. He's all over it. He's working with the White House. And I don't think he's dumb. Usually a pretty strong communicator. And he goes on a podcast and he says, our national anthem. And he's talking about Israel's national anthem. And so these are the people that claim to have no loyalty to Israel. They claim to have no loyalty, not about that. They're American patriots, bleeding red, white, and blue. And then he goes out and says, our national anthem, talking about Israel. And I'm like, is that intentional? Is that intentional to throw more gas on the fire of anti-Semitism? And then you just make it so bad. You just make the fire so bad that people are going to say, okay, yeah, come in government, come in nanny state, come in surveillance state, come in censorship state, and put the fire out. The fire of anti-Semitism, it's too big. So we need the government, we need the surveillance state to come in and put it out. And there will be Jonathan Greenblatt leading the charge. And the same technologies that Israel is using and the same companies that Israel is using to identify all of their enemies and kill all their enemies, oh, now it'll be used against us. And they really don't even deny it. They don't even hide it. In fact, when you follow these conversations, because it's really hard to defend, and the talking points have gone out, by the way. But as the debate on Israel continues, you say, well, how does America benefit? That's our greatest ally. Well, what do they do for us? So whoever runs these ops, whoever runs these digital influence ops that sends out the memos, like, you've got these big accounts that are either run by multiple people or run by bots, and you can just crunch the numbers and see it. Like, they'll have 30,000 posts in a year, and people will, like, crunch the numbers. It's like, well, how does somebody even post that much? A lot of these are long threads. So it's either a bot or it's either multiple people running it. And so these are big accounts that are obviously astroturfed. They get into a big movement, they get a big following, and then they just kind of turn it into a weapon. And you think, oh, I'm following a Patriot account. I'm following a Trump supporting account. And then it's just they just sell out. They sell the account, and then anybody can just post their propaganda on it. So I'm watching all of these huge anonymous accounts that got a big following in the 2024 election cycle. You're probably familiar with some. Huge accounts. They just post pro-America stuff, pro-Trump stuff. And now all of a sudden, they're invested Israel experts. Didn't post a thing about Israel until the last couple months. And now they're doing full-on dissertations about how great it is and everything they do for us. So that's just a point to say, hey, you can tell that's not organic. It's probably the Qataris. But what do they say? Well, don't you know, one of the benefits that America gets from Israel is we test your guys' technology first. Oh! In other words, all the tech they're using right now in their wars, Iran, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, you name it, all that technology that they're testing out for us is about to be used against you. So would I put it past Jonathan Greenblatt, whose business, really, at this point, is combating anti-Semitism? So if your business is fighting anti-Semitism, boy, what would be good for business? More anti-Semitism. So would I put it past these scumbags to try to make it worse and to say stuff like, oh, I'm an American patriot, free speech guy, but the Israel national anthem is mine. Just to keep business booming. Just to make sure business is doing good. And you see it everywhere. And then you see the people going on the trip. You see the people promoting it. And then you're just told it's all Qatar. Like, you're just that stupid. You're just that much of an idiot. You just don't get it. It's all Qatar. Yes. So we might get to that clip. But as we close out the segment, guys, my timer isn't up. What do we have left here? Okay, well, let's do this in closing, and we'll come back. Sorry for that awkward moment. I just don't have a clock on in here. Representatives Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie to bring Epstein abuse survivors to D.C. Now, this is going to be September 3rd, and they say these are going to be people that you're going to see and hear for the first time. So Khanna, Democrat, Massie, Republican, planning to bring survivors of abuse by convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirator Maxwell to the Capitol. They've announced the survivors will join them at a press conference the morning of September 3rd, the day the House returns from August recess. According to an advisory from the lawmakers, several of the survivors will speak publicly about their abuse for the first time. Attorneys for the survivors will also be present. Now, I would guess you're going to have at least one other individual join this from the Congress, and that's going to be Marjorie Taylor Greene. We'll see about if any others have the courage to. Looks like most people are either scared off of this or are just aren't interested now. But maybe the Democrats, because they think they can pin it on Trump, maybe they try to make a bigger fuss. I doubt it's going to be just Khanna and Massie when it's all said and done, though. I think more will join.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Voice the globalists dread. It's Owen Schroyer.
I do think there'll be a handful of congressmen and women next to Massey and Ro Khanna when the Epstein victims, Maxwell victims, speak for the first time publicly on September 3rd. You think Tim Burchett will be one of them? I'd say that's a pretty solid bet. I'd say you're probably paying juice on that bet. Tim Burchett. How does Tim Burchett feel about child molesters? Clip 10.
Well, he'd be killed himself. I don't care who tells me otherwise. But yeah, I asked for to bring in Miss Maxwell. She's the one that holds the keys to the kingdom. She is. She knows everything. And is she a liar? Maybe. But if she lies, she goes back under original sentence. And I don't agree with lessening her sentence or giving her anything other than the end of a rope. To be hung. I don't care for any of those people. I'd send them all to hell. As my Steve will tell you, I sponsored some of the toughest laws in the country. Steve helped me with the ICAC funding in Tennessee, Internet Crimes Against Children. He was one of the first on. We put it in the three grand divisions of our state. I sponsored bills to castrate child molesters. I sponsored the death penalty. It was thrown out as unconstitutional. Look, I'm one of the few members of Congress that has held the hands of somebody who's been molested. It is a life sentence. There's 1,000 little girls. I was on one of your so.
Tim Burchett believes child molesters deserve a rope. Do you agree? It's funny, the Justice Department doesn't seem to agree. They usually let them off pretty easy. You know, it kind of got overlooked yesterday when I had Kyle in studio. And when we get together, we kind of just end up rapping and not really doing like a breaking news presentation. But honestly, the whole thing looks like such a botch job now. And you wonder what else is going on behind the scenes as far as the negotiations between Maxwell and the Trump administration. But yeah, obviously somebody figured it out pretty quick that putting her in the Fed camp was a disastrous idea for her own safety, likely. So now apparently there's armed guards outside. They have advanced security just for her now. And it's like, well, what were you thinking? Why did you send her to a camp knowing that you were going to have to do this? I mean, folks, I'm telling you, it's so counterintuitive on how the BOP works. And the inmate doesn't have any say. I mean, you remember when I was in there, my lawyers couldn't even get a hold of me. Usually you have somebody, let's take a look at it from the perspective of the gang violence that happens in prisons. They will put gang members that are in a rival prison before they get transferred, or they'll take dropouts, because it's when you're in a prison and the prison gangs are in there and you're a dropout, they're coming for you, and they'll put you in the special housing unit. And you don't have any say. You could be good behavior. It doesn't matter. They're putting you in there for your own protection. So you sit here and you think, well, Maxwell is a obvious target, unless you believe Epstein really killed himself. So why would you put her in the lowest of the lowest of the low securities? And then you say, well, crap, this was a bad idea. We need to have special security on the outside of the prison now. So I think that negotiation kind of, maybe both sides thought they had a vision, and then it just kind of got into a mess, and now they're in a holding pattern, not knowing what to do. If you send Maxwell back to the prison and not the camp, then you look like, ooh, something went bad for us. But if you leave her there and she ends up not making it, then it's, wow, now you got a whole nother problem. Okay, but let's move on from that for now. How Trump's D.C. takeover could supercharge surveillance. Now, here's the question we need to be asking ourselves in this pivotal moment. And I do believe it's a pivotal moment. Do we want to go into a surveillance state, the likes of which they have in China? Now, what would be the difference between what we have here and what they have there? Well, we have a lot of similar capabilities. It's just not all integrated in. And so when you look at some of the people that Trump is working with here, like Palantir, these are the systems that are going to be used to integrate the whole thing. So yeah, you've got cameras everywhere, cell phones everywhere. You got all these different means of tracking and tracing and spying, but it's not all integrated in. And even though our rights have been abused over the years and they violate our constitutional rights all day long, privacy, everything else, there's still enough layers of, at least it makes it difficult for them. I mean, anybody that wants to go in there and spy on you can, but it would most, for the most part, be illegal. And they know they can't really use it against you because of that. So it's like if they use surveillance tech to do something and they catch you doing something, they can't use it against you in court because you'll just file unconstitutional means and methods of gathering this evidence and you'll win in court. So they still kind of have it. It's not all integrated. It's still a big effort. It's not the cleanest process. But all the tech is already kind of there. Cell phones, the cameras, in your car now, everything. So Palantir's job is going to be to integrate it in, into one system, and then basically what the technology is going to be able to do, and this actually ties into some other stuff, I think Palantir will ultimately just be kind of the landing platform for all of this, and then they'll just use their tech to kind of weave it all in. But it'll be a lot like this. 1 million calls an hour. Israel relying on Microsoft Cloud for expansive surveillance of Palestinians. And then you have some of this actually coming to the United States, like in Arizona. LVT and Axon Fusus roll out integration to elevate real-time public safety. Lawrence community members ask city commission to reconsider police camera integration program. And by the way, this is an arm of the same company that Israel has contracted out to do the exact same surveillance campaigns in Palestine and in Israel itself. So you're literally, so this is what they play. Oh, tell me why Israel's our ally. Well, they test our technology first before we use it at home. So Israel is testing this right now, which, by the way, that's, China already does this, folks. China already does this. They don't need to test this stuff in Israel, but I'm reporting this to you to tell you that they're testing it there, they're bringing it here. Now, whether this ends up being what they use in D.C. or not, I don't know. If we can develop enough of a pushback, maybe we can put this on pause and say, let's hold off here. But the people in Arizona see this and they're saying, oh, okay. So what it's going to do is, and by the way, it gets into all of this. It's stuff you wouldn't even think about. Stuff that Alex Jones has been talking about, InfoWars has been talking about. It can tap into your home appliances. It can tap in. A lot of these home appliances now, what are they connected to? The internet. Because it's convenient. And now you have an app on your phone to control your oven. And now you have an app on your phone to control your fridge. Control your AC. Oh, bing! It's all tapped in. So now they can use that to spy on you. But again, it's all separated, and there's different layers of protection because we do have a constitution. They violate it, but they can't really integrate it all. So they're trying to integrate it. So what's going to end up happening is they'll be able to turn on a program and they'll be able to capture all of this data. They're going to capture all of this data from smartphones, streetlights, street cameras, anything in your house that's connected to the internet. It'll still all act independently, but then Palantir or whoever gets the contract, and this is probably what they're going to test in D.C., it'll just be able to capture all of that data and then turn it into the surveillance system, which will be able to categorize and put into different boxes, whatever they're looking for. It'll make it searchable for them into one giant surveillance system. They'll also be able to tap into all the live feeds, whether it's a video recording device, audio recording device, and they'll just be able to tap into that. And so this is where the data processing is so important, and they don't have it yet. This is why they have to build these mega processing centers. This is why they're going to have to go with nuclear power, because in order to do this, you're going to have to get like 100 times the processing capabilities that you have right now with all the data that's going to be coming in. So right now it's like, yeah, you can go spy on anybody, but you have to go into the system and selectively go out and target certain data. It's not just a 24/7 constant collection of data that can be organized and searched through. That's what they're going for. So yeah, somebody can click into it and then go spy on you right now. But if they wanted to go back and search what you've done for maybe the last 30 days, well, now there's a process there. But with this, it'll basically just turn it into a solid state hard drive, easily searchable, easily categorized, and you can find whatever you're looking for or turn on whatever it is we want to turn on like that. So that's where this is going. Now, are they going to test this in D.C.? So right now, a street camera, which I think are mostly considered illegal now. I don't know. In Texas, they're considered illegal. But you wonder if that was almost a setup. Install all the red light cameras. Install all the intersection cameras and say, oh, it's for stopping crime, stopping people running red lights. And then eventually they say, oh, it's unconstitutional. We can't use this. But then the technology is sitting there when they're ready to bring in the surveillance state. So, yeah, they might not use it against you if you run a red light, but it's going to be there. And when it sees you pop up on the camera, it'll recognize your eyes. It'll do a facial recognition scan, and then it'll just know. You'll be tracked and traced 24/7, just like in China. So we don't have that infrastructure built yet to just be in a 24/7 monitoring state where they can just track and trace anybody. They still have to go in there and flick a bunch of switches and then target you. So that's what this is going to bring in. This is what Palantir is bringing in. This is what anybody, all the different AI tech bros that are trying to get into this industry, it's going to be a $1 trillion industry in the next 10 years minimum. So everybody wants to get their foot in the door. Everybody's trying to get in there and get these contracts from Trump. Now, Trump might be sitting here, and you could say for better or for worse, well, we're going to do this for people's safety. And the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So he might actually mean that. I mean, you've had multiple government workers now in the White House, other members of Congress. I mean, they're victims of crime constantly in D.C. Okay? And you think about like a Doge worker, like the one that got attacked a week ago, and they say, you know, the Democrats, and this is just true, the Democrats are putting a target on their back. We can't walk every White House staffer that works for Donald Trump. We can't walk every Doge staffer out to their cars every night. We can't do it. So we have to have some sort of a surveillance state or a security state here and really make it bold, hoping that it can deter crime. Meaning you go out there and assault someone, you're getting caught. Not like, oh, Seth Rich gets killed and nobody knows what happens. So you could say Trump is doing it for a good reason or it's got good intentions, but obviously we see where this goes horribly wrong. Check your favorite sci-fi movie. So that's what it's going to do. And so the crew is playing this video. It's just some B-roll. But a lot of this is already what's in place in China. So they're taking the China model. It'll be different companies than what China is using. But they're taking the China model. All the big tech companies are coming into D.C. They're trying to get the contracts. They're trying to introduce the technology. They're obviously going to test it in D.C. with this federalizing of the city, and then they're going to take it nationwide. And it's going to be for your health and safety and everything else to stop crime. And, you know, people are going to, you're going to have the cheerleaders that are just going to cheerlead it because it's the Trump administration and they can't help themselves. You're going to have people who are truly fed up with the crime in the inner cities and everything else that comes along with it, and they're going to celebrate it. They're going to say, this is good. Crime is out of control. And you can say, okay, fair point. But so where does it go? Where does it go from there? And that's why we have to ask. Do we want to go into a surveillance state like China? And is there anyone in this administration that is at least trying to slow this process down and say, hey, let's ask some very serious questions here before we do this? So you see, there's the AI race that seemingly nobody has any guardrails on. And then there's the surveillance state race, which nobody has any guardrails on. And it's all just a race to the finish line. Who's going to get the big contract? Who's going to become number one? And then what do you get? You get a surveillance state just like China. Now, again, a tool can be used for good or for bad. A hammer can be used to build a house or bash in your neighbor. So, okay, they bring it here. Do we have a social credit score? Is it an active system that's constantly monitoring you? Is it something you're aware of? Is it something you're in fear of? Or is it just kind of standing there, just there when it's needed, but not really being used, not really being utilized, not really compiling data on you, but that's done. That's already a done deal. So it's already going to be a privacy violation nonetheless. But if they can get results in D.C., and you know they'll fudge the numbers. Everybody fudges the numbers. All administrations fudge the numbers. So, oh, hey, look, violent crime is down, and usually, 10 murderers get away a year, and this year was only one. And, oh, wow. Time to go nationwide. And then other cities will start adapting it. and then other states will start adapting it. And so once you're in it, you're never getting out. I think that's kind of the big fear here. It's once you go into the system, how do you get out? And once you go into the system, even if it's introduced and we're very cautious and we say we are going to try to maintain constitutional rights here, we're not going to be violating any rights. The system is now active, but it's just going to kind of be there processing. We're not really going to be utilizing it until it's needed to catch, you know, a violent criminal or something. Then we'll go in. But then what happens when it's not? What happens when somebody decides, nope, this is now going to be the social credit score system? This is now going live, and it is compiling data and building a profile on you 24/7. And I don't really see anybody in D.C. at least saying, hey, let's hit the pause. They don't even have to be negative. You don't have to be a Luddite about it. Because everybody in the Trump administration is full on with this. And they're all connected to the big tech bros and the big tech companies. And they probably all have massive stock options. So it's like, whatever. It's more political corruption. But is anybody in there just saying, let's take a pause? Let's take a pause. President Trump, you got all of these tech guys breathing down your neck. They see dollar signs. Okay? But you know what I see? I see a 1984 system being built. I see a brave new world system being built. And, you know, maybe we should review some of this stuff for the interest of the American people and their constitutional rights. I mean, they make smart TVs now with cameras in them. We don't even know how many devices have a camera in them now or some other means to spy on you. So, oh, you think, well, it's on my cell phone. Okay, I'll put my cell phone in a drawer. Oh, you know, it's on my computer, whatever. I close it. It's over in this other room. I don't worry about it. Well, then it's your TV. I mean, they'll be selling stuff. They already have these, like, smart mirrors. They'll put, it'll be smart anything. And you'll just be able to operate everything with your face. Like, whoa, this is amazing. Or operate with just waving your hands. It's like, wow, look at this tech. And then it's just they're spying on you 24/7. So, hey, maybe before we go fully into this quantum AI system and before we build the actual data harvesting and processing plants that are going to have to be built to run this thing, you know, maybe somebody should say, hey, let's take a pause. And let's just think about where we want this to go and where we don't want this to go. Let's just maybe take a pause here and think about that. I don't want it to be normalized that you're spied on in your own home. It might even be tragic that it's normalized that you're spied on with your phone. It might be tragic that it's normalized that you're spied on with your internet activity. But, okay, fine, we've normalized that, and maybe the damage is minimal. I don't want to normalize getting spied on in your own home. You got people that'll put tape over their cameras on their computer and their cell phones because they don't want to be spied on. So what? Now you got to do it on your TV? Are you going to have like, a cover that goes down on your TV so it doesn't spy on you? How long until they make it illegal and say, no, you have to be spied on? And in fact, covering up the cameras in your house and on your tech is suspicious activity. We might have to investigate. And once it becomes into the quantum system, all of this will happen so fast. It'll be like the smart TV in your bedroom. And it's you and your wife and... You know, maybe you just went out for a couple drinks. You're going to have a nice night together. So, hey, let's hide the TV camera. Put the flap down. Put a pillow in front of the TV. And then you'll get a little warning like, oh, warning, we notice you're blocking your camera. DHS is concerned for your health. DHS is concerned for your safety. And then you'll have someone at your door in a minute. It'll be a robot. That'll disrupt the evening. Honey, how fast can you work? We got 30 seconds till DHS shows up. I just covered the TV camera. But where are the voices in D.C. concerned with this? Where are the voices in the Trump administration concerned of this? And maybe the problem is that the only people that even understand this are the very people that are racing to get the trillion-dollar contracts. So they're not going to bring up these concerns. All they see is dollar signs, baby. And you're always going to have the moment of hubris. Well, you just assume that this system won't impact you until it does. So, boy, oh boy, and you already see them using this, ICE to use iris recognition tech for deportations, ICE to buy eye scanning tech that could identify migrants in seconds. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has issued a notice to purchase licenses for mobile artificial intelligence-powered iris recognition technology to aid in deportations and removals. Where are they getting the iris data? If you have never signed off for your iris data, your eyeball data to be harvested, what happens when you find out that it's already out there? It's already on the market. It's already being implemented into these systems. Because you know it already is. And that's why they have all of this goofy tech. And it is goofy. Oh, we're protecting your cell phone. Please, folks. That's why they have all this goofy technology for your face scan, your fingerprint scan, your eyeball scan built into your smartphone. It was a trap. You just turned over your personal identification data to the entire open market. Well, oh, there's... I have a Bill of Rights. I have a right to privacy. Did you read the terms and conditions before you let them scan your eyeball? Did you read the terms and conditions before you let them scan your thumb? Did you read the terms and conditions before you let it do a face recognition on you? Yeah. And by the way, do you really think the government gives a damn about your right to privacy? Do you really believe that? Oh, they'll find 100 different loopholes to spy on you illegally before you could even draw up a lawsuit. So that's that. But it looks like we're going right in. Looks like we're speeding right in as fast as possible. And where it goes from here, we'll find out, I think.
There are millions of different knives for sale around the world right now. There's been probably tens of millions of different designs throughout human history. I don't think anybody knows. But when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you are going to have limited edition select knives that our current military recognizes are the very best for self-defense and will never lie to you and will never fail you and will never jam or run out of ammo or bullets like a gun will. Ladies and gentlemen, we have this limited edition tactical dagger with the hard rubber olive green grip, the skull crusher, 1776 on one side of the hilt, my signature on the other. It's collectible. 6-inch razor sharp stainless steel blade and the high tech scabbard. And the clip that goes on your belt. This is an amazing knife. Then you've got this. Only 1,000 of these left. Limited edition. Tip of the spear with a Spartan. The skull crusher. The brass knuckles. This is an updated World War II trench knife. This is all about defending you and your family. Exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. And then it's the Blades and Bullion sale. Our great sponsor at Bigley that keeps us on the air held back when these coins sold out, just a few hundred of each. So this is the very end of it. You've got the Trump 47 fight, battle for the Republic coin. You got the Spartan tip of the spear coin, the Declaration of Independence, Paul Revere coin, and people asked for it, so we gave it to you. We have the Alex Jones limited edition InfoWars coin. All at thealexjonesstore.com, the Blades and Bullion sale, up to 40% off on top of the discounts that are already there, and it keeps us on the air. Take advantage of this right now while you can.
Alex Jones has good genes. Get your methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com and make good genes great again.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.